yourself for the only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing action returns to Los Alamitos Racecourse for the L.A. County Fair Meet. Opening day is Friday, September 10th, with a 1 p.m. first post. Five stakes races highlight the meet led by the $100,000 Los Alamitos Special on September 19th. That weekend will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 18th. Two berths will be up for grabs to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Horse racing fans, visit us on track as we offer comfortable and spacious seating areas. Watch and wager in the main grandstand or at Burgart Sports Bar. And of course, our beautiful Vessels Club is fully open both indoors and out on our patio and terrace level. Purchase your admission tickets at the main gate or online at losalamitos.com. It's a fun time at the track. And don't forget about our $1 early and late pick fours, plus our traditional $2 pick six. Big time excitement is ahead. The LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Friday, September 10th.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 10 minutes into hour three, a busy Monday between the sale and recapping Kentucky Downs. I'm not going to ever miss an opportunity to bring Paulo Lobo to the show. One of my absolute favorites going all the way back to Farda Amiga and Pico Central and so many more, and a really good run at the Kentucky Downs meet with a couple of wins, most notably Imperador in the Turf Cup on Saturday. Paulo, congratulations.
Thank you so much, and good morning. And I would like to thank for the opportunity to talk about everything.
Paulo, I appreciate it. You know, this was a horse that this horse did not sneak up on people. There was a real hint that he was well spotted in this place on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, he came last year here, and his first start at Church was very good. Then we shipped him to Delmar. And that day he failed. He didn't run a good race. We gave him a good winter time, and then he came back, and since that he has been running well. At that race, the mile and a half at Churchill, the stake that Aglo won, and we finished sixth. I gave instructions to Talmud to put this horse a little closer to the pace that day, and was my mistake. And then we changed for the race at Malmuth Park and worked well, him running a little off the pace. And I think every work paid off on Saturday, because he ran a huge race.
Joe Talimo has gotten to know him pretty much. I mean, every North America start except one with Talimo aboard. And Joe, you know, Joe is physically very strong. That's got to work well, I think, with him, with his finish.
Yes, for sure. And everybody is talking about the unluck race, the second horse, Arclo. But nobody saw the turn that my horse did. Was very wide turn he did. But I think he won the race making that move. But my horse was very wide in that turn.
And also, going up the hill, I mean, did the way you saw it, were you worried that he struck the front a little too early?
Yes, you know, there is a little in the finish of the backstretch, there is a little downhill over there, and if the riders don't pay attention, they can be suddenly very close to the pace, horses that are coming off the pace. And I think Joe rode him perfectly. He was in the very inside, close to the rail, and I think if he kept the horse over there, we probably wouldn't won the race.
He's a 5 year old, and he's a horse. He's not he's not a gelding. Sometimes, you know, we get the Southern Hemisphere horses come and they're already gelded, but he's making his way. He's a Treasure Beach out of a Dane Hill mare, and so, you know, the distance not an issue with him, and it feels like he's still improving.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, Steve, some horses from South America, they take a little time to adjust here. Some horses, they don't. But almost of them, they took like 3-4 races to adjust. And I think Imperador is the real case of that.
We answered the question on Saturday, and I reached out to Jim Gluckson because people were curious about his eligibility for Breeders' Cup. He's fully nominated for Breeders' Cup, and so, you know, that part nobody has to wonder. And for you, in terms of his angling to Del Mar, going back to California, do you think do you start him one more time? You know, talk about how much work this horse likes.
Now, if we are thinking to go, we are thinking to run the Breeders' Cup, but if we do that, we are going to go straight with him.
Right.
And then I think the horse is getting his peak here, and also Del Mar, I don't know why South American horses, they love over there. We have a lot of good results from South America in the past, and I think we are going to take him down there.
Well, you spent a good part of your career before this portion of your career in the U.S. You spent a good portion of time in California.
Yes, I did. I did. I stayed between 2001 until 2010. Then I came back in 2014 and left again in 2019. Almost 14 years in California I have worked.
And, you know, Paulo, talk for a minute, because you had a period of time when you came back to the U.S. and you really had a stretch where you were struggling, and no one would ever question what a great horseman you are, and that's well established. But you've got to feel good the last few years, you know, and Editore and Ivar and now this horse. It's got to feel great to, you know, win these races with regularity again.
For sure. You know, in 2010, I decided to went back to Brazil, as I had an invitation to be a private trainer over there. And things were not good that time for me in 2010. Then we went back to Brazil. But as soon as I started working in Brazil, I was already missing the race in America. And in the first opportunity that I had to reopen a barn in America happened in 2014 with the owners of Ivar, Redatori, Imperador. It's two partners. They are two clients from Brazil, and they also own the RGI stud. And one of them, he opened he bought a farm. He got a farm here, Bon Chance Farm, and very new farm since 2015. They are working with the farm. And then I think I had a very luck to make that move again, and I think it's working out now.
Yeah, clearly. And not only did Imperador win the $1 million Turf Cup and get set to work toward the Breeders' Cup, but earlier in the week, you had the other Brazilian, In Love, win the TVG Stake.
Yeah, that's a very good crop of them in Argentina. In the same year, they had Ivar, In Love, and Imperador. And In Love, he hasn't won a stake in Argentina, but he always show a lot of ability over there. And he had a problem in his left hind leg, not serious. He pulled a muscle very bad over there. And the guys put him in the plane just to complete. we are going to send three. Let's send him also. But always promising a lot of things in love. And he ran first time with blinkers, and I think helped a lot last Wednesday.
Well, that's a second straight win. He won at Arlington. He won an allowance. Now wins the stake, and he's won three, since coming over from Argentina. He's won three times in I think eight starts. So seven starts. Nice.
Yeah. He's also, I think he's getting his peak here. He's a very nice horse. Very nice horse.
Well, and it was nice. It was nice for Alex Achard, who I met. I met him on Thursday. It was nice for Alex to get a chance and get a stake win too. During the meet.
Very, very nice rider, and I think guys can now watch him more, and I think he's going to get more opportunity to ride better horses. Alex is a very good rider.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, the French, you know, certainly the French riders between Julien Leparoux and Florent Giroux and Flavien Prat, and even going back, Luca Panici too, and now, you know, here's Alex, probably the least known of the imports.
Yes, but you know, these French kids, they had a very good school down there in France, and I think he's going to get more better mounts. He has won two stakes already, one in Arlington and one in Kentucky, and I think he's going to get more better horses to ride, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and you mentioned Ivar. I see that Ivar worked on Saturday. I'm guessing, Paolo, that you're looking to the maker's mark with him.
Yes, for sure. He has. I think he has three or four more works, and that's we are pointing him for the mile at Keeneland. And if he runs well, maybe the Breeders' Cup also in Del Mar.
Very nice. And nice that, because he sort of has had a limited year, right? We really haven't seen him much.
Yeah, after the Breeders' Cup, we gave him a winter off also here in Kentucky. And after the race at Churchill, when he was coming back, he had a little problem in one shin, and now I think he's good to go.
Nice. And you know, it's funny, I didn't realize it until looking, but he's also a son of that Agnes Gold, like In Love.
Yes, he is. Agnes Gold, unfortunately, he is getting old, but he is having a lot of success in Brazil and in Argentina. He's a very good stallion, but I think he is not going to be used anymore.
So pensioned at this point. Well,
yes.
Paolo, you're shopping at, obviously you're shopping at Keeneland, and what's your early impressions of the babies? Any certain stallion that has caught your eye so far? Some of the first crop types?
There is a colt type. Hello?
Yep.
There is a colt from Bon Chance. By the way, two colts from Bon Chance that I love it. I love it. A colt by Candy Wright, tip number 587. And a colt number 337 by Lope de Vega. Bon Chance is going to sell 10 colts in the first week, and they have really, really good crop this year, and we are expecting a good sale for 2021.
Very nice. What are they all in the same? They all together? Are they all in the?
No.
Are they spread around?
No. Spread around all the first week,
I know Hiddenbrook. I know Hiddenbrook handles some for Bon Chance, right?
Yeah, Hiddenbrook and Gainesway Farm.
Hiddenbrook and Gainesway. So, all right, let's get a little advertising in for Bon Chance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't speak Portuguese, but I'll say Bon Chance. Good luck in French. Paolo, thank you so much. You know I've been a huge fan for years and years. Farda Amiga, one of my favorite horses ever.
Thank you so much, Steve. I also follow your programs. You are a nice guy, and let's see if you have a very good end of the year.
Well, best of luck, and we're going to see you either at Keeneland and/or at the Del Mar for Breeders' Cup. Imperiador wins the $1 million Turf Cup, and Paolo Lobo, one of North or South America's top horsemen for years and years. Paolo, best of luck this week. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Anytime you want, I'm here to help you guys.
I appreciate it. Paolo Lobo, you can hear in my voice how tickled I am to get a chance to talk to Paolo today. We'll stay here. We got a busy half hour because Ron Gierking's going to join us for a few minutes to talk about tomorrow's second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. And we've also got Kenny Mollicone, who won the Saturday-Sunday Kentucky Downs Handicapping Championship, and he's not the overall winner, but he won the weekend, and he plays Kentucky Downs. It's one of his favorite places to play, so we're going to get some stuff for you to file away, some hints about how to play Kentucky Downs. Right now, though, Ron Gierking standing by. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Excellent. And Ron, in addition to tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to talking about, it was actually a pretty busy Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Woodbine, and Mark Cassie dominating. Tappet to win, though. A mild upset in the Seagram Cup Saturday.
It was, Steve. The Mighty Heart, you know, the reigning horse of the year. He's a speed horse. They decided to raid him, and Cassie sent one of his two horses to the lead, Tappet to win, and he just kept going and won fairly comfortably. And Mighty Heart were racing second all the way and ran his usual good race. But, Cassie won four of the five stakes on the weekend. And the one that he lost, War Bomber won, was a horse that was claimed off of him by Norm McKnight out of his last start. So it was a Cassie-themed weekend, that's for sure.
And we should mention, too, the weekend actually started with the Zadrakarta on Friday, too. And it was a good weekend for Silent Name, Not So Quiet, that won the Vice Regent, and the Zadrakarta winner, Summer Sunday. Both Silent Name, to me, one of North America's least appreciated stallions. It just throws nice horses left and right.
He sure does. I mean, I've bred to him three, four times myself. So the horse I bred by him, who should be running in the Bull Page Stakes on Friday if all goes well, the 2-year-old. So I'm a big Silent Name fan myself.
How about that? And, of course, as we've discussed many times, Ron's family, big and on both sides, thoroughbreds and standard bred. And I really, before we talk about tomorrow at Fort Erie, I can't, miss a chance to congratulate Rafael Hernandez, who I think won, did he win 3 of the 5 or 4 of the 5?
I think 3, maybe.
3. He won 3.
Yeah, and he's not even the leading stakes winning rider at the meet. It's Patrick Husbands riding a lot of the Cassie horses. So, but Raphael's 3rd in the standings now behind Kazushi Kimura and Emma Wilson.
Well, and, even though now we're into the fall, we still got a lot of big racing ahead at Woodbine.
Yeah, the next weekend, the Woodbine Mile, Canadian International and Canadian Stakes on Saturday, and then the Summer and the Talma on Sunday, both $400,000 races now instead of $250,000, and they're both grade one win and you're in. So next weekend is really our biggest weekend of the year in terms of all overall stakes quality.
Well, and we'll look forward to talking to you again, but I wasn't going to miss a preview chance to get in advance on tomorrow's Prince of Wales. And here's the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. And one of the interesting things, of course, we talk every year, Ron, about this, how the Triple Crown in Canada, not only does it test the horses at the three distances, in this case, two tracks, of course, but the three different surfaces. It's an added wrinkle, starting with the synthetic at Woodbine, then the dirt here at Fort Erie tomorrow, and then back to Woodbine for the breeders going 1.5 miles on the grass. So it's really a multifaceted test. And from that standpoint, this field, there's next to no dirt experience other really than Curlin's Catch and her tries at Gulfstream and Tampa this winter. Nobody's run on the dirt. So to me, that makes this a mysterious group.
Yeah, it sure is a wide open race. And like you mentioned, Curlin's Catch, filly, she's been pointed to this race since by Cassie since she was 5th in the Woodbine Oaks. Kind of a disappointing 5th, but I think Mark believes she's much better on dirt, and she's worked a couple of bullets on the dirt training track at Woodbine heading into the race. So I think, and Cassie's won the race twice with fillies, so he knows what he's doing in this respect, and I think she's maybe the one to beat, but it's such a wide open race, like you say, with the other 7 entrants, none of them have raced on dirt. The 4 Attard horses all shipped to Fort Erie last Tuesday, and they all worked over the dirt track there. So it gives you a bit of a gauge on what could happen, and it seems like Harlan Estate maybe worked the best of the 4, and he's not a really good workhorse on the main track on the Tapita Woodbine, so maybe he could really move up on it. He's a Cantheros, a son of Cantheros, who was 7th in the plate. The plate was kind of a blanket finish, right? Like the first 8 finished within 3¾ lengths of the Safe Conduct, the winner, who's passing the race to wait for the breeder stakes on the turf. So you're looking at H.C. Holiday, had a trouble tripping the plate on the far turn. He came flying late to finish 3rd, beating a length, and that's made him the 5-2 morning line favorite for the Wales. But he was 29-1 in the plate. I mean, he's I don't know if he's worth betting at a short price. I mean, you have Keep Grinding, who was 5th in the plate. He made a threatening move to the lead, like he was going to maybe win it and go by Safe Conduct, but he flattened out late. And he came back in that work last Tuesday. I believe he worked with Harlan Estate head-to-head in 59-2 at Fort Erie. So, those Harlan Estate and Keep Grinding might be the 2, along with the filly, who I would prefer in the race.
I did see some people making cases for H.C. Holiday, not surprisingly, at 5-2 and with nice figures, competitive in both the trial and in the plate, beaten only a length. Hadassah comes here as well, who ran a very kind of an even race and maybe, you know, lost some ground in the late stages. Turf debut, obviously, for this one. Air Force Blue out of the YYY mare, homebred for the Old Wellings. You know, from a pedigree standpoint, it's hard to... It's an interesting group from that perspective, Ron, because everybody you look at, I suppose Keep Grinding has got the, and Curlin's Catch have the most, you know, dirt-ish pedigrees, right? I mean, everybody else has got plenty of, you know, you got Title Forces is out of a Dynaformer mare. You got some of that kind of stuff. You Ready at Dawn is by More Than Ready out of a Giant's Causeway mare. HC Holidays out of a Henry the Navigator mare. There's lots of turf synthetic pages here, so I'm just kind of looking for dirt pedigrees.
Yeah, I think you picked out the right ones from that perspective, and Curlin's Catch being by Curlin, I think... you know, she doesn't have much of a synthetic pedigree, and her synthetic races have been mediocre. So, you know, if she runs back to that, or she can improve a little off of her winter form on the dirt when she won the Suncoast at Tampa quite easily, she should be tough to beat. And Patrick Cousins is going to ride her for the first time. It has been Hernandez, and Hernandez is back on Keep Grinding in this spot.
We pretty much anticipated in conversation with Phil Serpe that Safe Conduct was going to bypass this, but I don't know if that 9-2 is not going to hold, is it, on Curlin's Catch? No way.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I think that, you know, with Cassie Husbands and just the dirt breeding, I think the line on Keep Grinding is too slow, too low at 3-1. I think he's going to be higher than that. I mean, he was 10-1 in the Queen's Plate, and finished fifth, beaten two. So I think he's going to be higher, and maybe the filly will vie for favoritism with HC Holiday, perhaps.
An 8-pack and a real quick rundown. Avoman 7-2 from the rail. The Old Forester gelding for Donald McCray and Antonio Gallardo.
Yeah, he's
rides
the plate
here.
Trial winner. He beat the HC Holiday in the plate trial.
Yep.
So it was a four-horse field, but he wasn't beaten far in the plate itself. And he's got some dirt breeding. I mean, he wouldn't be impossible either. I mean, you can make a case for, I think, almost every horse in the race, except for maybe Ready at Dawn, who's just going to blast to the lead. The local hope claimed off Sampson, and he's going to try and take him as far as he can go.
Title Forces for Samson, Malibu Moon out of the Dynaformer mare. You know, seems very turfy, but Gail Cox does put on the blinkers here. And she's one of those trainers. Sometimes you see blinker stats, Ron, and they're nondescript with no ROI. She seems to put them on with intent. I mean, she does 20% with the last 10 blinkers added in terms of numbers.
Yeah, and he worked on the dirt at the Woodbine the other day on the dirt training track. And if you go three back, I mean, he did beat Harlan Estate and Keep Grinding in that allowance win. And really, at that point, it looked like he was going to be a serious plate contender. And he went on to be fifth in the Marine after, you know, being too forwardly placed on the lead. And then he had a wide trip in the plate, so he could be construed as a real long shot possibility, I think. And you know, I love the breeding Malibu by the late Malibu Moon, so he wouldn't be impossible, that's for sure.
No. We talked about Curlin's Catch. She's the 3-9-2 from Cassie and Breezy. Hadassah is 12-1 with Gary Boulanger, Kevin Attard.
He was quite rank in the plate, too. This horse has to settle to have any chance, and I don't know how that's going to work if he gets a lot of dirt in his face, but that's the thing with him. They got to get him to settle.
HC Holiday for Mr. Delos, Kevin Attard as well, and Louis Contreras. we mentioned. Ready at Dawn is 30-1 for Daryl Ezra, a horse that he took from Stuart Simon. And
from Sampson.
Yeah, and promptly won at Fort Erie on the turf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and he's been working. He's been zipping around the Fort Erie dirt track and works since his maiden win. I mean, he's made no secret, Daryl Ezra, that they're going to put this horse on the lead and see how far he can go.
Mark Lee Buchanan.
Fort Erie rider for the most part.
Then we get to Harlan's Estate, the 7, Kevin again, Attard, and this is Eric Johnson and X-Line Border. Came from the West Coast. This one, of course, we had talked about at one point or another, I think, with Peter Erton. And got the allowance win going a mile and an eighth. Cantheros out of the Archmare. And 6-1 for Harlan Estate.
Kazushi Kimura sticking with him, a Woodbine's leading rider. I think that's a plus. He's
an endorsement.
He's been riding super this year, the kid.
Yep. And keep grinding. There's your field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in addition, Ron, to and officially your top three, did you make an?
I didn't. You know, I haven't been doing Fort Erie selections this year, but I can give you my top three off the top of my head. I'm going to go Curlin's Catch, Harlan Estate, and Keep Grinding.
Very good. All right. So 3-7-8 for Ron. And Ron, the rest of that card is actually quite nice and includes two $80,000 races, the Rondo Bay. They're sprinting, and then the Colts and Geldings in the Lake Erie. And then there's two little $30,000 stakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a terrific card. I mean, the weather looks like it's going to be okay, I think. Should be a good card of racing, an 11 races on the card, so looking forward to it.
Well, starts at 1:00 Eastern tomorrow, and the feature goes as the 10th at 5:35, the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown, the Prince of Wales. Ron, a big two-visit week for you. We'll hopefully talk Friday about the big weekend card.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate it. Ron Gierkink, everybody, the Daily Racing Form, and north of the border. And of course, you know, he doesn't cover it, but I did mention the result out at Century Mile, the Canadian Derby. Uncharacteristic wins that. Mild, I guess, a mild upset, I guess. Yeah, second choice, I think, was Uncharacteristic. That's a new trainer to me, too. I want to reach out for
Ron Van Overshot?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that horse is arguably the leading three-year-old in Canada now, just in terms of if you were voting for the Sovereign Awards right now, he might win it. So he's got a chance to be champion this year.
Well, we'll find out more. Texas Wildcatter, I want to say, was Owen Hardy, but I don't hold me to that, but I think he was. Ron, that was great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Steve.
We're going to stay right here, and we'll fill out the morning because Kenny Molly Cohn is going to join us, and he was the third of the winners of the Kentucky Downs contest. I thought I was going to have the cumulative results too, and I don't. Hammer sent me Kenny's information, but I haven't seen yet. We're waiting for, I guess, a confirmation of they do have the accounting purposes. Who was the overall turf champion? But what I'm anxious for is to hear Kenny's take on Kentucky Downs, because it's one of his favorite places to bet, and I think most of us, I think we cash tickets. Saturday was fun, but I was kind of freewheeling. I was kind of throwing in, $20 win place bets and some back wheels, and I did some tri keys. I was just sort of, kind of throwing money at the wall to see what would stick, and ended up doing all right. But it wasn't like I had some formula. I did some It's guesswork, especially with the maidens. The maiden side of it, you know, is strictly pedigree. You're looking, you're looking at, who, particularly the horses that are trying first turf. That's what we're looking for. You know, and I tried a few that did not run well, and there were a few, you know, that had form. In fact, let me pull out the whole weekend so that I can talk to Kenny and follow what he did. I tried, let's see, from Saturday. Like in the Nightcap, for instance, I wasn't sure that growl of Brendan Walsh's coming back there, the Godolphin, I wasn't crazy about that horse. I went reaching for McPeak with Mackenzie's Nova, who did not run, and Close Knit didn't run, Tuskegee Cat. I completely struck out. I took a couple of pedigrees. That Long Crow I talked about, the sibling, ran a mild rally to be seventh. Here's Kenny Molicone joins us now. Kenny, congratulations on the weekend contest win.
Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You got to give everybody, they're all waiting. What's your approach to Kentucky Downs? Because I know that it's a spot you love to bet.
I've been betting Kentucky Downs since I was a kid. I've always won money there. I just something about it. I don't know. The horses ship in. I mean, you got big price. You got big money. You got great pools. I mean, and they pay. Then the numbers are never short. They're always always you get bang for your buck. I just love it. You can key a favorite on top. Not that I'm a big favorite guy. You can key a favorite, and you're still gonna make a. You get a couple horses a run. You're gonna get paid. I mean, I love the track.
What did you do over the weekend? What were some of the key plays?
My best bet over the weekend was actually on Saturday, Gear Jockey. I didn't think he could lose. I really didn't. And then, because what happened was on the second tournament, the first tournament, I play tournament secondary. I'm there to win money. I bet pretty good. And the first tournament, I liked the horse. I bet him, and he was gone. So that first couple days, I was out. And then the second day, I did all the second tournament. I ended up in second place. And then this tournament over the weekend, I ended up seventh. I was actually like first, second. I was like second and third most of the way, and there was nothing at the end. I didn't like yesterday's card, but Saturday I did well, especially betting for myself. I loved Gear Jockey. I was geared towards him and Aklo. I mean, if Aklo wins, I hit the pick five. I mean, it cost me a ton of money. I don't know what Giroux is doing on him. I really don't.
It's funny because Giroux had a. We talked the other day to Mike Stidham. I didn't call Mike this morning. He was on last week. But Giroux had. If there was a place where he might have had a miscue, you would think it was when Princess Grace had trouble at the break, and instead he did everything right from that point. And I know I know some people were kind of just befuddled that usually in this setting he's a guy that you count on.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him. I mean, when usually Aklo comes from China. I mean, he's one of my favorite horses. I mean, I bet him regardless. But I mean, usually he's sitting so far back and he's going to make that one huge run. But when he had him sitting sixth and seventh, and he was like standing up on him, I go, all he's going to do is keep him out of trouble. And then when he got him going, he tried to go through. I saw it. He tried to go through a hole that wasn't there. And then he had to back the horse up and come out. I mean, my only thing is that I hate to lose a race, but I hate to lose a race with the best horse in the race. And he was by far going to win that race, I thought, for fun. I mean, he got stopped, and then he came again and just lost by a head.
Yeah, he did. He did. I had Paulo Lobo earlier in the hour. Paulo disagrees with some of this assessment, but I understand. I sort of misread the information. You actually were the overall winner, even though you didn't take down one of the three contests. Right.
Correct. Yes.
Very nice.
I realized I didn't like the last. I hit the pick five at the end of the day yesterday. I had the 10 single. You know, I mean, he looked like a cinch. He went on 4-5. He won like a 4-5 shot. I mean, if I had had to, I would have. I looked after the seventh race. I wasn't paying attention. And then I said, well, let me check. And then when I looked, because Brian, one of the tournament directors, had sent out a thing, an overall after the first two tournaments. And I was in second place. And I looked. And all the people that were anywhere near, they were all gone. So I knew after the seventh race, I really couldn't get caught. And I wasn't going to go fire a horse. I had the pick five going. Not that it paid a lot, paid $1,300. But I knew after that, unless a bomb won and somebody went all in on him, and I didn't see the 10 getting beat, I knew, I figured I had it won, to be honest with you.
What was your total? Do you know your total for the 6 days?
The total was $5,700.
Nice work. When you talk about, I'm very curious about your assessment when it comes to the favorites there, because it does feel like a meet where certain short priced favorites come through and they win, and if it's not them, then it's a bit of a mystery. And what do you see there that gives you confidence in a single? Or, I mean, I knew Princess Grace to me was the free square on Saturday, because I think she's an exceptional talent. But other than that, I was spreading. I was using four horses, you know, in spots. And other than her, I didn't feel confident in one particular horse.
You know what's funny? On Saturday for me, it was, I hit the early pick five, and I had used the Bama Breeze in the third.
Yeah.
And Caveat Emptor in the fourth. Those were my two. I went too deep in the third and singled the nine in the fourth. And then I got the 11. I had four horses in the 11. I mean, it paid almost $8,500.
Yeah.
I thought the early, like I said, I singled the fourth race and went too deep in the third leg. I mean, I just think you could. I just look at them like in that last race yesterday. I didn't see how that 10 was going to get beat. I mean, I just if I had to pick five, if I didn't have to pick five going, maybe I fire something. But really, I just said, listen, I got it. I think I got the $20,000, the first prize. What's the sense of me betting any more to this race?
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, some of these. I mean, well, I'm usually the type of guy that tries and beat a favorite, but if the favorite's going to win, I'll sit and watch the race.
I hear you. I got to say this. You mentioned the pick five, and it paid $84.83, the early pick five on Saturday. That was with an 860 winner, an 860, an 1160, a 680. And then there was the 19-1 first-time starter of Brendan Walsh's. How many horses were you alive to in that maiden race? Because that maiden
I was alive to four horses.
Wow.
I was alive to the three, the 11, I think like the eight and the nine off the top of my head or something like that.
Yep. Lady Terra and Shug's horse, Hype House.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I was alive to four horses in that race.
Well, and you know what? Even that, Kenny, is, I can see the angle. Jazz Time Girl was going to be favorite. She looked most likely. And so you used her and then three firsters.
Correct, yes. See, I'll bet a first-time starter, but I have a couple different angles I look at, especially in shorter races. Like, you sometimes they'll go five and a half, six furlongs. If they got a couple works right before the race at six furlongs, I like to use them. Or even if, the three workouts. Yeah, I look, if they do have three workouts in, 12 or 13 days before the first race, I'll usually use them.
Hmm.
They're working them to get them ready. Like, they want to fire, they're looking to fire. So that's kind of like my angle with first-time starters. Or I've caught a couple bombs in my day where sometimes you see these horses that are 30-1, and they have like two or three works. Everybody else has got like 10, 12, 14 works, and they got two or three works from no name with a lot of time a lesser-known trainer. And then they pay $50, $60. I've hit a lot of things like that. I mean,
I love
matter of fact, it just happened. I was in the NHC. And there was the owner and the trainer are the same guy. He had three I didn't bet the horse, but he had three scheduled works, and the horse I think paid $100. And a couple guys had him in the tournament in the NHC. Yeah. And then the same owner come back with a horse that didn't look too great, but they bet him 11-1. He won. And then he had another first time starter that won out 50-1 and came flying for third. I mean, in another two jumps, he wins the race. This is crazy. I mean, just things like that. Like, but when I was in the NHC a couple weeks ago in Vegas, I got probably my worst beat of a horse taken down. I don't know if it was the last race on that Friday, the 27th, the 28th, 27th. Pivotal Run. It was Manny Franco for George Weaver.
Yep.
Last race of the day. It was 11th race. Now, I used him in the tournament, and I loved the horse. I picked him out on Wednesday. He was like 15-1 morning line. He went off 16-1. I had him singled in the pick five. I had a dollar pick four. I had a $20 pick three to him. I had $100 doubles, $100 jackers, and I had a $2 super with him on top. He's 16-1. He wins the race and gets taken down.
Jesus.
After that, I was toast.
That was it. Yeah, no, that'll.
I mean, and I still can't believe he got taken down.
Kenny, I'm guessing you cut your teeth at Northampton and Great Barrington and Suffolk.
No, Suffolk Downs, and then you know naturally Simon Castle and the kids before. But yeah, so we used to go up to Suffolk Downs a lot.
Nice.
We used to call it Suffering Downs. My dad was from Rhode Island, so back then they had Narragansett and Lincoln Park. Lincoln. 100 years ago, yeah.
Lincoln Fields. My grandfather. Yeah.
First thing I learned how to read was a daily racing form.
I love it. I love what. And I've only got a minute left, but what's your handicapping method?
My handicap value. You know, I mean, don't bet every race. You can't win. You can't bet every race and win.
No.
You know, you got to pick your spots. You got to pick your spots and take a shot. You know, you got to single somebody. Some guys, they give an excuse. I like this horse. It could be this horse. It could be that horse. If you like a horse, stick with your gut and go with them.
Nice. That's nice. What tools do you use?
What tools? My head. My head in the daily racing form. That's about it.
That's it, right? No.
And I watch some replays. You know, you got to see what happened with a horse. You know, if the horse got in trouble, take a look at it, you know? And you can see whether or not he got into real trouble. If he had horse, he didn't have horse underneath him. You know, things like that.
You know? You mentioned NHC. You playing BCBC?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be betting the Breeders. I'll be there.
Nice.
I'll be there.
Tremendous job! Congratulations! You're the king of the turf, as they call
king
it.
With turf, this. Yeah. Steve, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Listen to you all the time.
Kenny, thank you. And we're going to see you. We'll see you along the way here, but back in Vegas in just a little while. And you're not this time. You're not going to get no DQs next time.
Oh, my God. You look at that race and you tell me whether you think you should have came down. I'll listen to you.
Right. I know about that one with George. Poor George. You know, although he won the other day, he had a nice winner at Kentucky Downs.
Yeah. Again, thanks for having me on. Listen
Kenny,
to
thank
time.
You. I appreciate it. Kenny Mollicone, everybody, and your King of the Turf Championship, the three individual contests. Gary Gristic won the first round Sunday, Monday. Then Christy Moore won the second round. And Ed Deek won the third round. But Kenny, when they added everything up, he had the best numbers. Great job, of course, by Brian Skirka. Got to pull up real quick here and send you out into the race day. I mentioned those two 2-year-old stakes at Presque Isle later, and Good luck to our boy. We got Kid Chocolate in the seventh today at Parks. And thanks to Kenny and to Paulo Lobo, Ron Gierkink, Nicole Russo. Best of luck to breeders, consigners, owners, and buyers as Keeneland kicks off in 1 hour. Rich Migliori, Rusty Arnold, the second, and Brian Lynch, the first, as far as we know. Thanks, everybody. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. Back with you for Tuesday at the Races here on Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing action returns to Los Alamitos Racecourse for the LA County Fair Meet. Opening day is Friday, September 10th, with a 1 p.m. first post. Five stakes races highlight the meet led by the $100,000 Los Alamitos Special on September 19th. That weekend will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 18th. Two berths will be up for grabs to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Horse racing fans, visit us on track as we offer comfortable and spacious seating areas. Watch and wager in the main grandstand or at Burgart Sports Bar. And of course, our beautiful Vessels Club is fully open both indoors and out on our patio and terrace level. Purchase your admission tickets at the main gate or online at losalamitos.com. It's a fun time at the track. And don't forget about our $1 early and late pick fours, plus our traditional $2 pick six. Big time excitement is ahead. The LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Friday, September 10th.